Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College presents Liberty Mail with the student fellows of Faith and Freedom.
Hey, welcome back to Liberty Mail with Darren Jenks
and Grace Riley.
And we're here in the underground studio at Grove City College working with the Institute for Faith and Freedom. Today we have a really cool episode. We're going to dive into what's been happening in China, specifically the protest. We're going to touch on what's been happening domestically, what the U.S. White House has been saying, and then also what some politicians have been saying and drawing attention to the protest. There's some really cool things happening with the protest that I've never seen in my life with any other type of protest, so I'm really excited to get into that. But before we get into that, we want to draw your attention to an upcoming lecture event by Dr. Paul Kengor here at Grove City College. He'll be talking on Bella Dodd, and he recently has a new book that Grace will talk about because she did an interview with him recently on it. His book is called The Devil and Bella Dodd, One Woman's Struggle with Communism and Her Story of Redemption. So what was that interview like, and if you want to just kind of give a quick pitch of that book?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dr. Kengor and I sat down, and it was a nice, pretty quick interview, and that'll be coming out as a special edition episode soon in the next few weeks, so keep looking out for that. But if you want to hear more about his book, and it's a really interesting topic on Bella Dodd, who was a really influential communist in America. She was influential in the education system and in the churches as far as infiltration went, which was a motivation of the communists. So she knew a lot about that, but also ended up leaving the Communist Party and then testified before the Senate. And her story of redemption is what Dr. Kengor covers in his book. So the episode will be definitely worth listening to. And if you can get out to that lecture, December 6th, it's in Pittsburgh, I believe.
Mm-hmm, yep.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah, contact the Institute for Faith and Freedom if you haven't already, if you're going to that. I'm sure many of the listeners are already going to that. But then, as Grace mentioned, we have a special edition episodes coming up, or a series of special edition episodes, and it's going to range from, we have finally that one with the Honorable Newt Gingrich coming out soon ahead, and then a couple that Grace has done, and then hopefully I have one with a couple of professors at Grove City College, and it'll be just constant content going on throughout Christmas break while we're back home, living it up with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's hop into our first topic. We want to just, these draconian lockdowns that are happening in China surrounding COVID, China has a zero COVID policy, which in actual terms, it has been seen as, okay, forced government lockdowns, which is what we were afraid of a little bit, but taking it way further than anything I think we could imagine in the U.S. And it's, okay, there are military cars coming into cities. There are people with riot shields and in large thousands of kind of military presence and COVID presence, COVID worker presence in China, shutting down streets, large cities, and not allowing anyone to get out.
Yeah, it's really crazy stuff, which unfortunately isn't that surprising because the Chinese Communist Party has the intention of world domination, even in relation with the U.S. Like, they would like to take us down, and they're focused on building up their military, their economic status. So China's Communist Party is already bad news, basically. So for them to use COVID as an excuse to implement what they want to and shut down people, basically, and mandate forced lockdowns. And the protests erupted more recently because 10 people died because there was a fire and they were trapped inside a building because the doors were locked because of the COVID policies that were crazy. So it's crazy stuff going on. And we have a video to play for you of a comment from Governor Ron DeSantis, which was really good and interesting. So, producer, if you'd like to play that now.
I just want to make a comment about what we've been seeing going on in China. This zero COVID policy is draconian, it violates people's liberties, and it is completely unscientific. And the people of China are right to be able to speak out and protest against what the Chinese Communist Party is doing. This CCP has a maniacal desire to exert total control over its population. Zero COVID is really just the pretext for them to do what they want to do anyways. And that is not a model that can work over the long term. The people in China are finally speaking out against it. And I just think we need these draconian COVID policies to go to the ash heap of history where they belong.
That's good. Thank you.
That's a great video. He did a really great job explaining that. But what are your thoughts, Aaron?
Well, First thing, I mean, we use the term draconian, and I think if you don't know what that means, it's just severe and harsh kind of implications of laws and regulations. And it fits so well in China, and it's sad that it fits there. But I'm really surprised to see, we will get to it, but just the massive pushback in almost cities across every city, right? And he does a good job. I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do. DeSantis right here in saying that he's against these type of things, as any type of American should be.
Yeah, and not everyone did.
Yeah, and it's a strong, assertive comment on it, instead of kind of playing to, okay, well, we don't know how we fit in with China in this new kind of world dynamic of powers. And so power to him for being strong and assertive with it.
Yeah, and we'll get into later in the episode what some other responses were from the White House and whatnot. But even just to touch on quickly, another huge thing that happened is Apple's supposed support for the Chinese Communist Party, people are saying, because Apple shut down AirDrop in China. And just so that we understand the significance of that, so AirDrop on any Apple iPhone is a permanent feature where you can share things without using cell towers. So it was a way that protesters were using it to communicate with each other without China being able to kind of control it from the cell towers, see what it was. So it was a tool that they were using on the phone. And then all of a sudden, Apple stopped that and took it away. So it's really alarming to see that happen and see why Apple's handled things the way that they have.
Yeah, I mean, it really takes the side blinders off. And it's really assuring that I've seen multiple news outlets kind of report on this, at least. And so, again, like taking those blinders off, Apple is just another company, and they're going to want to kind of get what they can financially. But then to go as far as, shutting down and working with the CCP in China, that's mind-boggling for me because it's never I've seen get to that point. But then maybe it is kind of a sense of naive that we have, where we understand how many companies work within China. Maybe we just don't understand the length that they go to and how important and influential this connection is.
Yeah, and as many people have been saying, that Apple is basically in China's pocket, which that's what it appears to be looking at this. And as I think you're right, that I think a lot of this has been going on for a while, but this is making it a lot more real, especially for us watching it and watching everything unfold. But even we've seen things like this with TikTok in the United States, just with China owning TikTok and taking Americans' data through the app. And that's something that President Trump had a problem with and tried to put a stop to. There's been a lot of debate over if we should have TikTok in America for those foreign concerns reasons, like for those reasons where China has been taking data from us so that they can control us in a way and be involved in the intellectual sphere of what we're seeing on social media. And it's crazy because young people are spending so much time on TikTok. There was a poll recently where it was 60% of young people, so Gen Zers, were spending at least time once a day on TikTok. 16% were on it constantly, so all day just scrolling, looking at it. And those are big numbers of young people that are just scrolling on this app. And what they're seeing on the app is controlled by China, and I think that we should have a lot more concern for that.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is correct, but then you do see the pushback, I think, on social media against that. You see a lot of individuals speaking out against TikTok. So hopefully this example with Apple is another kind of drop in the bucket, pushing up against that and pushing against China's influence, whether it's technologies in America or pushing against them having technologies using against Chinese citizens and just trying to protest. I really want to get into what these protests have faced directly. We don't really want to show you videos. There are videos and pictures that you can find out there, but just for the sake of this podcast staying up on all of our platforms, but I want to walk through where there's security forces and police armed with riot shields, firearms too, lethal and non-lethal weapons across the country in a number of cities that I do not know how to pronounce. But you see large blockades throughout all cities where you have military vehicles standing in front of large roads, blocking off people going in and out. And so people that do want to get out cannot. It's very similar to Berlin. And so you think about Berlin in the 20th century, and it's very similar to that, I think. And then also you have the hundreds of people being escorted out of the city by either military or COVID workers to these large plants of, they're called COVID infrastructures or COVID camps. And I've seen people label them. And it's hundreds of buildings, very like thin, or not thin, structured cubicles almost. And it's walled in. You got bars on the cell. It's pretty much a prison system for people that either are testing positive or they've been connected to those who have tested positive.
Yeah,
draconian in the utter sense of the word.
Well, again, and I would go back to as well that the Chinese Communist Party wants to have power and control over their people, and they're using COVID as a tool to do this, because all of these things are ways that they're exerting control and power over people, because that's what they need in order for their ideology to be successful. And that's something that's been going on in a lot of different forms throughout China's history, even looking back to Mao. And so there's been a lot of that going on, but this is the form that we're seeing it in now. And it is crazy, too, how a lot of people came out against this, of course, but some people just didn't come out that resoundingly against what was going on in China, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah, I'll throw shade at the NBA. Like, they have so many connections, and they do a huge presence in calling attention to social justice issues and human rights issues. Oh, they're just so silent when it comes to China.
Yeah, and even thinking about the Uyghur Muslims that were being it's horrible.
Yeah,
really.
And then can you draw attention? You mentioned Mao and his revolution a little bit, and then what you wanted to talk about with, especially with the CCP enlisting youth volunteers to almost tattletale and report those who are going against the policies right now?
Yeah, so even just breaking it down to communist ideology as a whole and Marxism, one of the practices, and the thing about Marxism is that it is all written down, all of these tactics and practices and goals, and we can see the patterns if we look for them. So one of the tactics that Marxists use is looking at younger people in the populations, looking at kids. This happens in the education system where they inform kids that they should be parents of the, or that they should be children of the state rather than of their parents. So the government basically wants to control what they're learning in schools and help raise them without them being so attached to their parents. And one of the things that happened was encouraging kids to tell on their parents if they spoke out against the, you know, regime. So that's something that's been a pattern throughout different things in education, and anyone speaking out against basically the regime and leadership. But it's just interesting how they've used kids as well. And Jack Posobiec tweeted today that the CCP is now enlisting the youth, some little volunteers as young as 10 to 13, to serve as COVID enforcers in Red Guard. And what Jack Posobiec kind of drew a parallel to was the Red Guards of the Cultural Revolution have returned to serve as the White Guards, which it's an important tie there because, again, there are a lot of patterns that we've seen, and the leadership is really just doing anything they can for control.
Yeah, it's really scary to think about. And there are clear parallels to that Cultural Revolution that we saw in the Mao Revolution. But then you think about who is protesting and taking a stand back, and you see these videos who, okay, you have people getting very, very physical in the streets who are, like you said, they're white guards because it is COVID workers dressed up in kind of hazmat suits, and it's they're very clear white, at least white suits. And so in response to this, you have people who are physical. And then, like you said, you have kids who are reporting parents for even, like, thinking stuff maybe in the house or talking in a certain way. And then the other step of that is if you post anything to social media in China or you publish anything, you can be taken in by the military or police, and you're going to be charged for that, for speaking against the CCP. And what has been really interesting to see arising out of that is how I think people are good with they're coming up with very new
creative
ways. Very creative ways. Thank you for filling that blank. But they're calling it the white paper protest. And Olivia, if you could just put this up. I thought this was so cool. It's the ingenuity of it and, right, just the creative powers of, okay, we can't say anything online. We can't publish it. Maybe even if the government's getting to younger children and going to be infiltrating homes like that, almost like a Red Guard. So you have all these people putting up white pieces of paper, and it's symbolically saying that we stand with everything that's happening with people that are being physical and risking their lives right now, even people putting up on trees, but people in large numbers where, okay, maybe this is a way to sidestep being put into jail, but still showing solidarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, just the amount of people that we're seeing coming out and protesting, they're absolutely right to do that, as Ron DeSantis said earlier, and we should be standing with them.
Yeah, and Keith, you can stay on this one for a while. This one, at least.
And just for those listening who aren't seeing the video, there are just pictures of people basically holding up white papers and protesting.
Yeah, but if you can look at the video, please do on YouTube. And here's a gentleman, older guy, in a wheelchair holding up a piece of paper, doing his part, I think, and standing up and saying what's going on is wrong. And I think that's just – that pulls at the heartstrings. And I think it should pull at American leadership, like we saw DeSantis coming out hard against it, but we don't see that across the table. And I want to read some people who have gone on social media, and I'm sure they're putting their lives on the line, and I'm sure they're putting their families' line or lives on the line too. But one protester said, "The white paper represents everything we want to say but cannot say." He said, we launched the blank paper – oh, sorry. "We launched the blank paper protest. Do we say anything on the paper? No, but all accusations are in our hearts." All right, so I think that's really cool. And just, again, the ingenuity of it and of a people that have been so suppressed for a while now and that are being suppressed, and then they come up with this as a way to – as means of protest.
Yeah, and well, what I think of too is just how a lot of Americans take for granted the freedoms that we do have to speak out and protest freely, because – as we said, in China, if you do that, then you're going to be arrested or disappear or something like that. So you cannot speak out against the government there. Here, we have the privilege to go out, say whatever we want, for the most part. people can go and they can wear pink hats. They can protest all they want, basically. And on the left, many do. So that's totally allowed, but I don't think a lot of people really realize that everywhere else you can't do that.
Yeah, and this is just another thought popped in my head, but think about people who are working in marketing campaigns or working kind of that sphere of advertising, and it's so important to be very clear with your messaging. And in America especially, you can get lost and you can go down a bad avenue of no revenue and a broken business with not having well, direct and simple advertising. And then here you have this where it's literally no advertising, but you know exactly what's happening because you just see the oppression happening, physical oppression in the streets, not being able to leave. And then you have people who are risking their lives online saying, this is what we are standing for in solidarity with. Now, I want to hop to the U.S. The U.S. White House response to this. And we'll go through it before we analyze this at all. But President Biden said, "We've said that zero COVID is not a policy we are pursuing here in the U.S., and we've said we think it's going to be very difficult for the People's Republic of China to be able to contain this virus through their zero COVID policy. For us, we are focused on what the world But they go in to say we're focused ourselves on enhancing vaccine rates, and they say getting booster shots across the U.S., and they go into what processes they are implementing right now to increase vaccination rates. But then they sum it up again. They say, "We've long said everyone has the right to peaceful protest here in the U.S. and around the world. This includes the PRC."
Yeah, so I would say that that's a very weak response from the White House. They should have come down a lot harder on the Chinese Communist Party, who is suppressing their people, and it's pretty pathetic, actually, the whole response.
Yeah, I mean, man, I think they're just... they're playing into it so much where call China for what it is, an oppressive regime, especially call it for being almost a dictatorship in some terms. And definitely don't call it a republic. Even if that's what they say they are, you're the leader of the free world. Lead by example. Have that servant leadership mentality. And then also you're standing up for these people who are risking their lives in China. And this is not doing that. This is, I think, failing to doing it. It's highlighting what we are doing in the U.S., which I don't think anyone really cares right now what's happening. When they hear what's happening in China protests, they're not thinking, oh, well, how do our vaccination rates and what's our COVID policy looking like? No, we just want to figure out, okay, how are we going to stand with these people? How are we going to influence China using the hegemony that America has in this world power?
Yeah, and that's something, again, that we should continue to consider, like, certainly, the amount that we depend on China, because that's kind of, I think, a ticking time bomb in a way, because again, they want world domination. But I think just leaders in general should, again, come out against this. But I guess just wrapping it all up, just going through, do you have any like concluding thoughts on all of it or just on the responses?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is kind of behind the scenes where I think we do see in connection to, okay, Apple having so many ties and then what they did to actively work against the protesters. And so think about how many other corporations, and that's not a widespread kind of, what is it? I'm blanking on the word again. This happens all the time here at Liberty Mail. But conspiracy theory. It's not a widespread conspiracy theory that companies have connections, like the NBA, to China, and they're financially motivated. So then, but when you see it come to the White House and government and people being weak on condemning what's happening over there, violence and draconian lockdowns, it hurts my feeling of what the U.S. should be in the world stage and what we ought to act like.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So in just closing, we're really excited to have some great episodes coming out soon that'll be special editions, so definitely be on the lookout for those in the coming month. And yeah, we're so happy to have you here, and we hope that you enjoyed this conversation. Do you have something else?
Yeah, we want to show you this. I forgot about this in the beginning, but this is our, we thought this was pretty cool. I'm sure most of you know Spotify Wrapped.
Oh yeah, it's Spotify Wrapped time.
But we were pretty impressed, and we wanted to thank you for listening. We were in the like top 25% of all podcasts on Spotify, which this is a side gig that
of
we
being
enjoy.
Shared or something, yeah.
Yeah, but for me, it's a side gig that I enjoy. It's an endeavor that is fun, and it's a good, thoughtful experiment. But, well, I just didn't think that as many of you tuned in and really cared about it, so I really appreciate it, and thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much to all of you for always tuning in here and on YouTube and wherever you listen, but we're very thankful. And
5 countries.
Yeah.
Wherever you listen.
Yeah, for everyone everywhere. But yeah, and make sure to send us comments, send us feedback, any topics that you want to discuss, any questions.
Absolutely.
And we would love to take those into consideration. So thank you so much for always supporting and listening to us. Yeah, that's a great way to end. So thank you for tuning in to Liberty Mail, and we will see you next time. Make sure to like and subscribe.
Thank you.
For more information on the Institute for Faith and Freedom, visit faithandfreedom.com.